Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show, focusing on small business on Blog Talk Network. This is Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, our special guest is Maria Dupuque, who is an etiquette expert and life coach. Today, we're going to talk about social media etiquette. If you'd like to speak to Maria, I have a question. Feel free to call in at 347-324-3460, 347-324-3460, or you can pose a question in the chat room on Blog Talk Radio. Or you can go ahead and Twitter me at hashtag Apple Capital and I read the question on the air. To begin with, I'm going to play a small clip. It's about a minute from Maria, our host.
A viewer wrote in the comments section on my channel page about a guy she was talking to on Facebook, or is talking to, and she talks quite a lot to him on Facebook, but he doesn't want to see her very much at all in person. And she was asking what she could do to get him to want to see her more in person. Here's the problem. If he wanted to see you in person, he would have asked you by now. I mean, you say you talk 2 hours on Facebook, maybe a day, and he's not asking to see you more in person. That's a problem. Then, to me, he doesn't want to be any more than friends. So I would just drop him, especially if you want to be more than friends. Now, if you're fine with him just being a friend, then okay, then keep talking to him on Facebook. But I get the feeling that you want more than that. So drop him, because you're going to get your heart broken. You really are. And I know that you're thinking, well, if I just kind of nudged him. No, it doesn't work like that. He would have asked you. He would have said something like, let's get together. I want to see you. But he didn't. So stop contact. Stop contact, because I know, oh, you could say, well, I'll still talk to him as a friend, but I think that's not going to be good enough, and you will get your heart broken. So be careful.
Wow. Powerful statement. Powerful statement. And I got that off your YouTube page, which you have like, oh, my gosh. You got like 2.1 million views.
I know. And that's not my only YouTube page. I know. I think, you know what it is, Tim? I think people are not reading as much anymore, and they're watching YouTube. So I'm getting quite a lot of really young viewers, people that I wouldn't reach if I were just writing, because I also have a blog, and I don't get nearly the response or the readers that I get on my YouTube channel. So what does that say about our society right now? I'm telling you.
Wow. And so what's your other YouTube page, Skull?
And that's youtube.com/mannersbymarie. So because I think that I started that because people are so rude in this society. And
wow.
People ask me all the time, well, is it technology? And I say no, because that technology connects us to people. What it is, it's selfishness. Don't you think it's selfishness? If we got to have everything right now.
Now.
Yeah.
It's really amazing. You know, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you go back 50 years in this country, and everything was all about manners and being polite to each other.
Right.
You know, coming from our British society roots. But if you really look at it, probably when around the 90s, when kids were more exposed to, beginning to expose to email, of course they had their pagers during that time, and they had email, and then it kind of mushroomed from that. Each started to get cell phones. They're not interacting on one-on-one. We're not teaching manners because from some reason to another, it's just not required and it's cost too much. But taken from that, I guess because we're not really interacting with each other. We're interacting even this decade through digital devices. You think that's really the issue, or you mentioned people just not as polite anymore?
You hit the nail on the head. In fact, I wish you could have been on this radio show I was on the other day, because the host was asking me, she said, well, when did this all start? When did people start getting rude? And I'm thinking, I don't know, but you answered that perfectly. You're right, in the early 90s when all the digital devices came into play. And again, it's not so much the media, it's not so much the technology, but we just forgot how to interact. In fact, excuse me, I hear from employers all the time, they have a real hard time with young people coming in. Like, when I say young, I mean like early 20s, late teens, early 20s, even up to mid-20s. And what it is, these kids, I want to call them kids, they don't have eye contact. They have trouble with eye contact. They have trouble with communication, face-to-face communication. And they don't have the work ethic. And so a lot of that is they're just used to typing away on the computer and not really looking at people. And that's a sad state of affairs right now.
Wow.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And only really I noticed because I was coming out of teaching, I was going into teaching rather when I finished in 89, and we start to have a shift with America Online. Then we just start to notice, even on the college level, I was kind of mad at one of my teachers because one of my students went to her class in college, and he said, well, our term paper is only 5 pages. What do you mean it's 5 pages for freshman English? We had to do 20 and type 5 pages because the teacher said, I have too many students. I have 300 students and, you know, maybe an additional 50 or 60 for English. And she did not feel like reading 20 pages. So she condensed it down. This is what I need for 5 pages and so forth. And I think from the starting from this level, moving down to this level, and then the communication, we start to have email and so forth. And, even that wave of the 80s, I'm not going to say geeks, but, take the Bill Gates, he's rich as it can be, but taken from that society and how he interacts on the business world, he's really abrupt and he's brilliant. But just look at the IT sector that has really have taken over our entire economy and the society. They don't communicate one-on-one. They communicate through digital devices. And they do get things done in a certain way. But for this personalized one-on-one thing, it just doesn't work.
You're right. You're right. And they're idolized. They are idolized.
Yeah,
so you're
are.
Right. That has a lot to do with it. Absolutely. I didn't think of it. That's a new perspective for me. Right. You know, I mean, and you got to think, well, what are we going to do about it? And I think we just have to be cognizant of the fact that there's somebody on the other end of that screen. You're not just looking at a screen. There's a person. There's a person. Mm-hmm. And I think people forget that, and that's why they're so rude. They forget. They almost look like people are invisible, that there's not a real person there. Do you think that?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, it's just, I remember the last great book, well, Letitia Baldrige talking about etiquette. I think that was probably the last thing that's probably people really paid attention to, but that's like a classic book that she put on people's shelves, and again, this new generation come in, don't have any clue about it.
Right,
but
yeah.
I know you're an etiquette expert, you're a life coach. Kind of tell us, the audience, about yourself. Where are you from, and how did you come out focusing on etiquette?
Well, I noticed that on my first YouTube channel, and that's youtube.com/Marie Dubuque, I noticed I get a lot of younger viewers, and they just have no concept of communications, like what we were talking about, and they're impolite sometimes, and other people are impolite to them. And so I thought, I'm going to start a whole other channel on that, and that's how I started youtube.com/mannersbymarie. And, Tim, you would not believe the comments that I get on that channel. People are so rude. In fact, one of the ones that comes to my mind is a young woman who's having lunch with her mother, and the mother was on the phone the entire time. And she was asking me, what should I do? And I told her, you've got to just lay it on the line with your mother. Say, look, my time is as valuable as yours. So if you want to meet with me face-to-face, you've got to put down that phone. because otherwise these people don't get it. They think it's okay to, and what it is, what I think is you're multitasking with people's feelings. It's like the person that's with you is not as important as the person on the phone or on Facebook or texting you at that moment. That's the way I look at it.
Wow. So what can you do as a society to kind of change the wave, or better yet, in the workplace, in control environments like the classroom teacher, so that you take 5 minutes a day and say, let's greet one another, let's learn about manners. Just maybe just 5 minutes a day on that. And what can businesses do to kind of take this new generation that's coming through the system? They are productive in one sense. You know, you can't do a one-on-one on them, but, you know, if you give them an IT job, they can do it perfect. But what can businesses do to kind of create a retreat environment to get their employees to interact on a personal level to one another?
Right, right. Well, on the first question, the teachers, I'm on the radio quite a bit, and there was a radio host who was also a teacher, and he said that he was in the classroom, and these kids were on their cell phones, and it was okay, and that parents wanted their kids to have cell phone access during classroom time so that they could communicate with their kids. That floored me. That floor, and you're a teacher too, right, Tim? But you teach at the college level, right? This was high school. And I have a high school student, and I don't ever call my son at school. I would never in a million years. I'll text him, and he's not even allowed. He goes to public school. He's not allowed to have cell phones in the classroom. In fact, they get taken away. So what on earth has happened? So these teachers need to stand up to the parents and say, look, no cell phones in the classroom, period. And that is going to get the message to the kids. Now, as far as the businesses, I remember I went to this eye doctor, and there was this young woman, sweet as she can be, and she was new, and the older ladies, she was the woman at the front desk at the eye doctor's office, and the other ladies had to teach her, and they had to tell her, look, you can't be on your cell phone, you can't do this, this is business time. Yeah, and so they basically, you know, and the one woman was telling me, well, maybe her parents didn't teach her that, she's the youngest of a bunch of kids. But see, parents need to teach their kids a work ethic. So it has nothing to do really with the cell phone. It has everything to do with the work ethic. And parents need to stop being their kids' friends and start teaching a work ethic. I know this isn't a parenting show. I know. But and also with the employee. And so these poor employers are stuck with these kids who don't have a work ethic, are on their cell phones and texting all the time, and can't communicate face-to-face. So they're going to have to either let these kids go, and so then if you get fired, boy, you're going to learn really fast, or they have to teach them on the job. And that's not easy, too, because in a sense, they have to be the parents, don't you think? In a way.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, I've taught elementary and middle school.
Oh, okay. So you know what I'm talking about on that.
Yeah. Yeah, and a parent who's crying, you know, we're talking about in the early 90s or mid-90s, in the late 90s. Oh, my kid had like a $200 cell phone bill. I said, you're crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Cell phone. This is a lot of money in the 90s. It's a lot of money today, but my gosh, $200 for a cell phone bill. And you're agreeing to keep your child who is in middle school, not high school, granted, not a lot of activities. You're in middle school, and you're fussing while your kid, your bill is three times as much as you and your husband's combined.
Oh, my gosh.
And you're paying for it, but I guess it's that trend. And then you look at reality TV today.
Yep.
And, I mean, what are your opinion about reality TV? I mean, the people idolize people that's rude. I mean, look at Rush. Well, Rush Limbaugh is not he's a talk show, but, you know, Howard Stern, you look at his, is just loud and abrupt. I love him to death. But
right.
What you say about society like that, and you look at reality TV, how they're kind of manipulative, and they're just really into your face, tell you what your opinion, and tell you things just being rude. You know, can they be just nice to each other? So you think that's also part of the factor is what we're looking at today? Regular TV shows has really almost to the tank. I mean, slowly you look at the lineup of CBS and ABC, you're seeing more reality shows taking over. Now, probably that's the dominant force today. People watch more reality, and that's influenced our younger generation, influenced society. What do you think on as of how can we as parents come in and say, hey, or school teachers come in and say, hey, what can we do to kind of curb this tide?
Oh, you are absolutely right. I mean, Rush Limbaugh off the air now for, I guess he's off for a while. I'm not sure what's going on. But I think with that whole, what is going on with him? He's like leaving or, well, we don't know yet, right? Is he
he's probably insulted somebody and
right.
Sponsors will pull him back, you know.
Well, but I think maybe the whole incident with Rush Limbaugh maybe is starting a wave of a kinder, gentler kind of radio. I'm not sure about that because that in your face kind of, oh gosh, people yelling at each other. Maybe I'm hoping that that's just a trend and it's going to go away. But what really concerns me is not so much the meanness as it is like The Bachelor, that show. I don't know if you watched that, but
it's awful,
and it's almost like an avoidance thing. It's not that The Bachelor picked the mean girl. All right. But then he broke up with the mean girl, but he never really broke up with her. Like, people now are breaking up with people over, like, on a text, or they're changing their cell phone, or they're changing their Facebook status, and they don't ever really break up with somebody because they don't have the social skills to be able to confront someone because it's messy to break up with someone. So what did The Bachelor do? He just avoided her and never really broke up with her, just didn't talk to her, never even told her, look, I think this is over. You see what I mean? So I think that's what is really disturbing, is that people are avoiding any kind of confrontation in their own lives. And so they just, if it's sticky, if it's ugly, if it's messy, they just kind of avoid it and just don't even deal with it. So what, are they going to leave their marriages when it gets a little messy? Okay, this is over. I just want to talk to my wife, and we'll end up getting a divorce. You see what I mean? That's even worse than the meanness, I think.
Yeah, it's, well, I guess after the first two got married and got divorced, you know, well, not divorced, but it just didn't seem real. So
right.
I didn't see what the point of having a bachelor. But on a business level, what can businesses do to kind of make their people react? Any suggestions?
As far as on social media, I think that it's such a, I mean, that's why I don't want to blame technology for rudeness, because especially for businesses, it is such a tool to reach so many people and to help so many people. For instance, say somebody comes to your wall on Facebook, how you react to that person is like that person coming into your store and talking to you on the loudspeaker. Because everything you say to that person, the whole world will know, basically. So that's why I think businesses have to be really cognizant of how they treat social media. And I think some of them maybe don't want to embrace social media, but you have to. And you can, if you do it right, you can get so many more customers. And people will look at you like, wow, they responded fast, and they really helped this person. I think they'll help me, too. So I think embrace it. Do you find that, Tim, that a lot of maybe companies are shying away from it, or are they embracing it?
They kind of embrace it in one sense, but it comes with both ends of the stick.
you have fire burning
at one end and fire burning at another end. You got fire burning at one end because they're really responsive in customer service, and people like when you interact right now. On the bottom end of the stick, if you don't handle it correctly, the fire burns and kind of consume the whole stick, because if one issue come out and if it's a weekend and you're closed and they say something bad about yourself and then someone else make a comment, it starts this fire. So it's like you almost have to monitor it every single day, several hours a day, to make sure when something catches a fire, you address it right away. Say, hey, I'm going to take care of you right now. Let's talk about this. We want you as a customer, and we're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that you're a happy customer. But if you don't catch that, you know, like on a holiday weekend or on a weekend, and if you totally you can't shut down 24 hours. I mean, you can't shut down, period. You have to operate your business 24 hours a day on a social network. Because
That's
if
true.
Not, you have these bad comments that comes through the system. And one person make a comment. And by the time you come on Monday morning, you have your house is on fire.
Right.
And now you have to go back, in which you can't take things back to address all the issues, because as more and more comments become negative, then it puts you on the first page of Google. Then you have to correct this reputation and hire the company to mask the idea, you know, mask the all the ratings and get them knocked down in order for it to get positive things. So it's really expensive. So and today, yeah, it's good if you're a business have a Facebook and a Twitter and a YouTube, but you have to monitor it every day, all day long, to prevent someone writing ugly things or a competitor writing ugly things about you and your company.
Right, you're right, and you can't let up. And then I've heard of business owners, they have had clients who want something right now, right then, even on holidays, and you have to email them back right now. It used to be 24 hours with courtesy,
no.
But now, no, you have to get some back to someone right now, and they just gave up a client and I don't blame them. I mean, because do you want to be a slave to your clients? No, but you have to provide good customer service. And a good example of what you were saying, a business here, we have a pond in our backyard, so we're big fish people. So there was a pond store, and they sold a fish to someone who was going to have their pond on the pond tour, so everyone was going to come look at their pond in their backyard, and the fish that this store sold them was sick, and it infected all the fish in the whole pond, and they lost all the fish, and these people did nothing. The store did nothing. So what did this woman, she wrote comments everywhere on every single fish forum, everywhere. And the company, what did they do? They went out of business. Now, there may have been other things involved, too. But I talked to the business owner of another pond store, and he said, you know what? They had to really try. They had to really try to upset someone so much. He said, because if that happened to us, even if it wasn't our fault, if a fish got sick, we would take care of it right then and there. So that's the thing. You're right. You have to get on it right away, because if you don't, that's it. It could be the end of your business.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
It's good and it's bad. It's a double-edged sword, as you said.
Yeah, it's
and it's almost like, do we want to work 24/7? But it's like, what do you think? You almost have to, right? You have to be, or you have to hire somebody to do it.
You can hire a kid to just monitor. You know, it's not that bad, but it's just you have to be. You know, even if you don't have a website, you still have to monitor, because you still have reviews on different website pages, Google or, you know, Bing, whatever. They still can affect you even if you don't have a website, or you even don't have a web presence. That's even worse, because then you never know if someone wrote anything bad about you.
Yeah, and you have to. And would you say Google your name or Google your company's name constantly? I do that with my name because people steal my stuff, and so then I get on them. Yeah, oh yeah, it happens all the time with writing and everything. So I am. So I do that constantly, and you want to know how you're coming across, like what's on the first page. Does somebody have misinformation or whatever? So do you recommend that companies Google themselves or Google their company names quite a bit?
I think they do, but there is a software by that's free. From American Express, and it's called YourBuzz. And there's some other, like CrowdBoosters, software is free, and they will monitor everything you have on the web. You often do a Google alert, and if you do a Google alert, you'll get something that's written. But also, American Express has this, you know, put the footnote, that they're not sponsoring anything, but I just like the software, because it is free to small businesses. It's called YourBuzz, and you can put all your social media information there, your Facebook, your Twitter, your LinkedIn, and link all these accounts together. Also, most of your local search pages, like Yellow Pages, comments, and so forth. And what it does, it will grab all this information throughout the web. The local searches take a little bit longer, maybe a few days later. Sometimes it catches it right away if you're active. But it will pull all these comments to one console so you can see what's going on with the social media for your company. And it's free, and when you want to communicate with someone, you just put it in YourBuzz, and it'll go to your YouTube, it goes to your LinkedIn, it goes to your Facebook. You don't have to go to each account to do that. You can just do it right there. And we always recommend, hey, just do that one console and then take care of it all.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So that's YourBuzz from American Express. CrowdBooster is another one. Social Bro is another one. And they're all free. So they're all available, and businesses really need to use those. I have a question real quick. On friend requests through Facebook, how do you reject a friend on Facebook?
You know what I say? Now, this is the case where I say avoid, avoid, avoid. Because don't just reject it. There's a place awaiting friend requests on your page, and you can just ignore it. Just have it sit there forever and never respond. So that way you're not rejecting the person, but you're not adding them as a friend. So in that case, I think avoiding is good. Because maybe this person, it's not someone you can't stand. It's just someone maybe that you don't want as your friend. You maybe don't want them to see what's going on in your life. Or in the business sense, maybe it's a competitor. I mean, you don't know. So you don't want to add them as a friend. Whatever the reason is, I would avoid. Because if you reject it, it makes you look like you can't stand that person, when that's really not the case.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one thing I do like about Google+, you can categorize them. But, you know, on a friend request, I can see you can have, I'm not sure, I can't remember how Facebook has it, that you can put different levels. But, you know, if I'm a friend of a person, I would be, like, freaking annoyed. Say, hey, I've been knowing you forever, and you can't accept my friend request, and I've been knowing you for, you know, all of childhood, and I can't be at least your Facebook friend. I guess you can attack it on a different level, you know, but it's one of these bad things, because if someone does write anything within Facebook, things do live forever.
Yeah,
and with this timeline, you couldn't really see it in the past. Now you can see it, and it's forever there. Because I think, you had like this 30-day cycle, and it just go somewhere we never know where it went. But now I think with the Facebook, it will start your account from the very beginning, and all those posts that you post is going to be there. What can you do in that sense if you wrote something ugly by a company in your high school years, now you're in college, now you're applying for this company, and companies today do look at social media to try to figure out what the candidates were like. It's really hard to believe. You know, HR people do the same thing. They look through their LinkedIn. They look through their Facebook to try to get what type inside view on what this candidate is really like. So what can a person do when they wrote something ugly by Coke and now they're applying for Coke for a job?
I know. That is so huge. And the thing that the problem with these young kids is they think that they have this privacy setting. Oh, like my son, he's 16. Oh, I have a privacy setting. I can say anything. No, you can't. Pretend it's not even there, and whatever you write, the whole entire world will see. Because, and what is really disturbing, I don't know if you heard in the news lately, but some companies, and it's murky as to the legality of this, but there are companies that ask you for your login and your password on Facebook when you get hired so that they can see all that. And that is very disturbing. Yeah. If there's bad language, if you use bad language in the past, my son, he was on some group. He there's all these Facebook groups, and he was in a group that was talking about some book that the whole group was reading for English class, and there was bad language and all kinds of things. And I checked my son's name, too, and I look, and I'm like, why are you in this horrible group? And he didn't even remember being in that group. This was like 2 years ago. He didn't know about the bad language. There's his picture. Now, he did not use the bad language, but somebody else did. And in fact, I think there was bad language in the name of the group. And so he tried to get the person who originally started the group to get it off. But what you can do is you can go to Facebook, and they, if they see bad language, they will take down the page. And that's eventually what happened. So if there's any bad language, anything like that, you can always go to Facebook, because they, as much as you, do not want to have bad language and anything inappropriate on their pages.
Great. That's some great advice.
Yeah.
And taking that, how can what's your suggestion for a person? Hey, if you wrote this in college, you're a freshman and you're a senior, and you go apply for this job, and the company say you bashed them. I mean, how can you say, hey, look, I was only 18 years old. I was trying to join the group to be sociable and blah blah blah. Any suggestions what you should tell the employer?
Oh my gosh. You're backpedaling. You know, you're in a precarious situation, and you're going to have to I would plead youthful ignorance.
There you go.
it's just such a new world, because even kids who are in high school now have to worry about what they say now for when they get a job like 8 years from now. I mean, it is, like you said, it never, ever goes away. And I think that these kids, they don't understand. They don't get that. It's like they think nothing can happen to them. Well, There you go. And these pictures, you have to be careful about what pictures people take of you. In fact, I saw a study this week that all these college kids that go on spring break to Florida, well, they're being better behaved. Why? Because they're so worried about what they're doing. They're drinking, and it turns up on YouTube, on
yes.
Facebook. Everybody's got a camera phone, you know. And so that's where social media and technology is great. It's keeping our kids in line.
That's wonderful, because I really haven't seen instant outrageous pictures. No, you don't see this college kids going wild video.
Not anymore.
Even,
isn't that odd?
No,
I mean, you're like, why aren't we? This is spring break
yeah.
right now. Yeah. I know.
We
should be
seen
seeing beer bongs. Yeah. But we're not, right?
Okay, someone is teaching the kids. Finally. Or they get it.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're afraid. They're afraid because here they are. Now, they're college kids who are in Florida. And then, you know, so they're looking at what, 1-2 years, maybe a couple months before they have to job hunt. So they know, they're seeing it. You know, it's right, the end of the tunnel is right there, and they're going to have to get a job. And so they can't have the picture of them loaded or, you know, drinking and just bombed and are. Who knows what they're doing on that spring break. I know, I never did the spring break thing. Tim, I don't know if you did, but because I was busy working. You probably were too. So.
Yeah, I did work too. It's usually it's Easter. I'm busy. And when I go to vacate, I don't want to be bothered.
Yeah.
I want to go on real vacations, you know, not in a group of friends that I have to entertain. Hey, question real quick on Facebook. Someone who blocks you or someone you want to unfriend, how do you do that?
You know what, I would say, and people don't use the blocking enough, if someone is just in any way making you uncomfortable, block them. Don't worry about, oh, people are so worried about what people think, but if someone is making you uncomfortable and is using bad language, anything that makes you feel like it's inappropriate, block them. Now, I get this question a lot. What do you do if someone unfriends you? And it's not, you don't know why, and it's just maybe your friendship's going away, but you didn't do anything really inappropriate, or it wasn't bad language or anything like that. It was just sort of maybe a miscommunication, or somebody just doesn't want to be your friend anymore. If this is a good friend, talk to them. But if it's someone you don't know that well, maybe in a business setting, I would just not mention it. I would not mention it when you see them in real life, because I think people get mad and they press buttons. And then 9 times out of 10, they will friend you again. So don't mention it in real life. It's uncomfortable, and just don't do it. And they will probably friend you again. Because remember, they want to push your buttons. They want to upset you. They were mad. It was the heat of the moment. So just let it go and act like it never happened. That's
hey,
the one case to do that.
Great. I saw something really interesting. I saw someone post something about a couple of years back, say, hey, I'm reaching my limit with Facebook, and I can't like anybody or like a site or add new friends, and I have to either go to a fan page, which I don't understand, or what she did is put a notice, hey, in 3 weeks I'm going to have to start deleting friends because I can't add likes to my page because I'm at my max. Even at 3,000 something, which I thought was 5,000, but that's overall. And so don't get mad at me if I take you off, but go ahead and like my fan page and then allow me to extra room. Which was, okay, that's really, really neat. You're pushing
yeah.
the person off of your page that you have family and friends you want to be involved with, but you're pushing them to a fan page politely, and you're letting people know, hey, if I take you off by accident, but I had to shave off in order for me to expand family on here, and at least she gave them 3 weeks' notice and say, hey, here's my fan page. Like my fan page instead.
Right, and a lot of times those fan pages are really great as far as if you're in anything. If you have a business, you're an author, you're whatever, and so you're gonna head people towards your business and away from your personal. And so I think that's great, don't you? I mean, that's what fan pages really are. I think they're mainly for mm-hmm. businesses, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Absolutely. But
yeah.
also a lot of
because I had one, and I'm for my writing, and I thought, you know, and I'm not on. I have to tell you, I'm not on Facebook anymore. I just do Twitter and YouTube, and I'm thinking about Pinterest, but I try to keep it down. And here's the reason, because I feel like. And you can kind of weigh in on this, Tim. I feel like it's like you're over networking otherwise, and it's too hard to keep track. Although your little the social bro and all that actually would help. But what you were telling me about those little those little tools would be great. But I just feel like, you know, those people that are at every single networking function, they're at every single bar, you know what I mean? So I just feel like sometimes it gets to be too much. And that's why I think to just keep it down to maybe two or three social networking sites and really, really hone in on those instead of being everywhere. Now, people have different opinions on that. What do you think?
That's a good question, because I think the person and we battle with this with companies at meetings all the time. For business, is an advantage, or if you're an author or you're trying to market yourself, it's great, because then it's putting more links out there to build who you are. And it's like you are the PR person and is moving all your information around. So in one sense, for a business or a person who really wants to be out there, it giving you more and more pages that's out there and give you more links to make you more popular and you'd be on the first page. So if you're trying to promote your business, yeah, you really need to do it, because it's not costing you anything in one sense. And if you have an aggregate type page that you can make one communication and it sends it to all, and maybe focus on, like you said, maybe three, YouTube, of course, and Twitter to communicate and do specials on Facebook, then really it's all you need. But you really need to, as a company, have a system like that, because you can be able to monitor what's going on out there, or complaints or something like that. If you're trying to promote yourself as an artist, it's another good way, because the more you out there, it's more record companies. Believe it or not, I had an interview on Friday. The record company felt comfortable because the person had taken all the initiative to market themselves out there to make it a lot easier when they release her CD, that she has a fan base. She built her Twitter fan base. She built this. So just marketing that person is a lot easier than versus starting from the ground, you know, from the ground up.
Right.
If you have 20 or 30,000 fans, you look a lot better to a book publisher and a lot better to a record company or in a company, because they don't have to market who you are. You already have a fan base and you can build from there. So you have building customers already there who's supporting you, and you can build from there. So on that sense, it's a good thing. Maybe if I'm just working for somewhere, no, I don't need a whole bunch of social networking pages, because you're exposing yourself to a lot of things that now you're branding yourself, and you have to be aware of your image at all times.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And it's almost to the point where, like you said, record companies, publishing companies, they don't want to mess with you if you don't already have a fan base, because they don't
figure,
okay, you've got built-in people who are going to buy whatever it is, your record or your book. Right, right. That's true.
Tell us about
your
books.
I have seven. And my most popular one is Witty Comebacks for Idiotic Insults. So what does that say about our society? That people are so consumed and they're so upset about people saying nasty things to them. And I think that's happening more and more, especially like family gatherings and things. People are just, they just kind of jab at you. And I think people get really nervous, like Easter's coming up and people, you know, they push their buttons. And so I think that's why it's gotten such a following, that book.
Wow. So what you should say to a person that insults you, that you know, first thing you want to do is just go at them. What can you say in the workplace? Say, hey, this person has just said that I'm stupid. You know,
right.
How can you address, you know, it's usually going to be a person who's on their own world and
right.
Maybe a senior person. What can a person on the workplace that you're equal or someone is higher to defend yourself? Hey, no, I'm not really stupid. This is my position on it. This is my opinion. Share with me, what can you say to a person like that who's constantly rude to you? How can you fix that?
Well, you can't. Don't get defensive. That's what they want.
Okay.
And they want
okay.
to push your buttons again. So I would just act like, and this is what I do. When I have rude relatives say things to me, and most of the time they're jealous of you, is why they want to put you in your place, because they're jealous. So whether it's a competitive coworker or whoever, so know where it's coming from. And then act like they never said it. Just, really, you're dumb? Oh, yeah, okay, I got to run. Thanks, bye. And like you never heard it. And I know that's avoidance, But if you sit there and say, I am not done, no matter what, how you respond to that comment, you're looking defensive. So you need to stay positive, stay professional, smile, walk away like you didn't hear that comment. And if they keep doing it, change the subject. Because and if you have to, you can talk to somebody in HR, but I don't think you're going to have to, because what they want is a reaction. They want to upset you. And if they see that you're not upsetting, they're not upsetting you, they're not pushing your buttons, and you're staying positive and confident, they're going to give up, and they're going to get bored and move on to somebody else.
Wow.
I know. I know, that's a different approach, but it's much better than trying to sit there and fight with these people, because there's obviously something wrong with them, and they're seriously jealous of you.
Well, what you do, you know, you're at a dinner place, you're at a luncheon, and people, you know, a person who's just trying to tear you down, how can you be in a professional way to address that to them in a nice way?
Yeah, and just steer the conversation in a different direction. Just say, if they criticize your work, you could say something like, oh, well, I've got something else coming up that I think you'll really like this time. And I'm wondering, maybe you just didn't read the whole thing thoroughly enough, because, and then say your points, what it is about it that was positive, and then move on. And a lot of times these people will say what they say, not to you alone, but in front of other people to humiliate you. And that happens quite a bit. And so then if you're in a group, change the subject to someone else. Get the focus off of you and onto somebody else. Oh, did you see Joe's presentation the other day? It was just amazing. I think you'll like that better. And then,
okay.
And then now the focus is on Joe.
But it's really good. I know we have about 3 minutes left. Kind of tell us the of course, how to contact you towards the end, but tell us about the 7 books. You say you have about 7 books that's out there?
Right, right, and they're e-books. They're e-books because I feel like they're so much less expensive. Yeah, they're all e-books, everything, and everything's going that way. And so you can go to Amazon or the iPad bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Sony e-reader, and Witty Comebacks, and then The Dreaded Lull, which is how to get out of that dreaded lull, the break in conversation when you have nothing to say. You do not know what that's about, Tim, because you are a great conversationalist. You're in radio. So, but some people, they're like, oh, my gosh, what do I say next? So that helps those people. And also you can go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/mannersbymarie, and please comment, because I always answer comments, and I love to hear them. And you do a great job, I tell you. You know, people in radio, they don't have the same problems that everybody else has, because you don't have the problem of, oh, now what do I say?
Appreciate it. Thank you. You have a tip on here. Say, okay, the nail-biting interview, job interview. I had this question on Friday, and they said, hey, what do I tell the person when they ask for something negative? Say, tell me something bad about yourself, which – you know, maybe that's a trick question. Any suggestions that you would have if a person going to a job interview in a nice way to say, well, no, I don't really have anything really negative about myself, but any opinion on how in that type of setting that they should address that question?
I would say I'm a workaholic.
There you go.
Yeah, I would do that. I would say it's something so that it comes across as a positive thing. Yes, I'm working constantly. I'm trying to balance my home life with my work life. But right now, I am too devoted to my company. So I would do that, because then they're like, whoa, this person is going to be a great worker, and this person has a great work ethic. Because I think, in a nutshell, isn't that what everyone is looking for, a really hard worker who is going to be completely dedicated to the company?
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
One last question real quick. How can they contact you? I know you mentioned earlier regarding your YouTube channels, your Facebook. Can you just tell us how if
oh, yeah, Twitter,
you?
Twitter. Thank you. I love Twitter.
Twitter.
And that's at Marie Dubuque, MarieDubuque. And I'm going to follow you. In fact, when I get off this show, I'm going to follow you. What is yours,
great,
Tim? What is
Apple
yours?
Capital.
Okay, Apple Capital. Right, okay. I'm going to follow you.
Okay. And then I have one, which is my just started about a month ago, which is my first initial last name, TJKJACQUET.
Okay. Okay. I know, because it's great. See, now I'll be in touch with you forever, too.
Great.
What's going
I really
on with
appreciate
you.
It. thank you so much. I really appreciate your time.
Great talking
appreciate
to you.
You guys giving us great, great advice. Again, Maria, thank you.
Thank you so much. Great talking to you, Tim. Bye-bye
thank
now.
Thank you. Take care. Goodbye. Great. It's been another production of Apple Capital Group. You can download this episode on Blog Talk Radio, or you can go straight to iTunes. Take care. Have another great day.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.